How can you achieve and maintain business growth? Harvard Business School Executive Education is now accepting applications for a new program, Driving Profitable Growth. Taking place in Boston from October 25th through the 28th, this program focuses on business expansion and organizational growth strategies that can lead your company into the future. Learn more about this three-day program for senior leaders by visiting hbs.me/growth. That's hbs.me/growth.
You are Locked On Thunder, your daily podcast on the Oklahoma City Thunder, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello there, everyone. We're locked in for episode 101 of Locked On Thunder, presented by the Norman Transcript. I'm your host, Fred Katz. Locked On Thunder is part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Head on to iTunes and search Locked On Thunder, and you can subscribe to the podcast there. You can leave a review once you're on that page, too, and find us on audioboom.com. Log on to normantranscript.com and check out my blog, Thunder Road, under the sports tab on the site, and you can find all my Thunder coverage over there. I'm on every day of the week, Monday through Friday, as always. The Friday show here, all for the weekend after this. Back with you more on Monday, but the Thunder have a game today. They've had a lot of off days. It's kind of hard to figure out show content on all these off days. It's nice to be able to just kind of have a game now. I'll be able to have game content for Monday's show, too, because they play Boston in Oklahoma City on Sunday. Things are getting tough now. This is where the schedule gets tough. The Rockets have won 4 in a row, 6 out of 7. The Thunder already beat the Rockets this year, 105-103. That was in Oklahoma City as well, November 16th that game was. Since that game, the Rockets have won 9 out of 11. So the Rockets are playing really good basketball. They're the 4th seed in the Western Conference right now. I think they're only a game worse than the Clippers, actually. Maybe a half a game worse than the Clippers at the time of this recording. So this is a really good Rockets team. It's one of the best offenses in the league. They're third in offense right now. Super efficient, tons of shooting. James Harden might be the leading MVP candidate. You know, you got really good year for MVP candidates. It kind of reminds me of a couple of years ago. Or actually, no, not a couple years ago, last year. No, last year was Curry. A couple years ago, between Curry and Harden. And there were a few other good MVP candidates that year. But this year you got Westbrook, you got Harden, you got Durant. Curry's having another great year, although I'm not sure if he's necessarily in the conversation with those guys in terms of the year those guys are having. LeBron James is having an amazing year. Kawhi Leonard's having an amazing year. Just a lot of really, really good MVP candidates this year. So that's going to be a really fun race. I'm not sure who the MVP is right now. It's a good thing that we've got another three quarters of the season to figure it out, because I'm not 100% sure who the MVP is right now. I think you can make arguments for really any of those guys, and I think it's fine. Especially Harden, LeBron, Durant, and Westbrook, especially those guys, I think have a really good argument. But the Rockets fell in Oklahoma City last time they played an unbelievable offensive game for about 42 minutes and then went cold, went about 6.5 minutes not scoring the basketball to end that game before Eric Gordon hit a meaningless three, like with, you know, tenths of a second left, and the buzzer ran out. The Rockets went super cold. Harden didn't play well. This one's a little bit different than last time, because Patrick Beverley is back. He was hurt when these two teams played about 3 weeks ago. And now Beverley is back in the lineup. He started 11 games this year. He's shooting the ball about as well as he normally does. And of course, Patrick Beverley has that history with Russell Westbrook. He's a really feisty defender. And Westbrook likes to go at point guards when point guards guard him. And Patrick Beverley is not really an exception to that. So Westbrook's going to go at him. And Patrick Beverley goes at everyone, because that's what Patrick Beverley does. It's how he makes his living on the defensive end. It's how he's gained that reputation of being a really physical, really good defensive point guard. And he's going to go at Russell Westbrook. And Russell Westbrook's going to come right back at him. I enjoy watching that matchup. As like a basketball fan, I think it's fun. I like watching that matchup. So I will enjoy watching those two guys go at it on Friday night. I think that's going to be fun basketball. Eric Gordon is now on the bench. He started against the Thunder last time they played, and he also didn't play well. I mean, he was 5 of 20. He just didn't shoot very well in that game. Now he's coming off the bench. He's running second units. He's in a little bit of a different role, although he does still run with the starters. He does still run next to Harden at times. But he's basically Oladipo-ing their bench units. And him versus Oladipo in the second unit is, I think, a really important matchup in this game. Most important matchup in this game is Andre Robertson and guarding James Harden, which is something that I'll talk about in a little bit. But you know, the Rockets, they run everything around Harden. But their second unit is decent. And now that they've got Gordon in there, it's a little bit more decent. He's having a really good year, Eric Gordon. People forget that Eric Gordon is good. People forget that there was a point where he was like, he was the next up-and-coming big shooting guard. Like, he was going to be the guy. It was you know, Kobe and Wade were the two best shooting guards in the league. And when he was like 21, 22 years old, like, he was going to be the guy that followed them up as the league's best shooting guard. Like, that's how good people thought he was going to be. Now, obviously, he's not that good. He's not Klay Thompson or James Harden, if you think Harden's still a shooting guard, or Jimmy Butler. Like, he's not DeMar DeRozan. He's not those guys. Of course, he's not those guys. But Eric Gordon's a good player. He's still shooting 40% from three. He's okay guarding on the ball. Like, he's not the greatest defensive player in the world. He used to be actually pretty good defensively when he was younger, and he moved a little bit better. Now he's not quite as good, but he's not like a total liability defensively. He's a nice piece, and he was a good signing for this team. I thought that was one of the better contracts of the summer, and it's really paid off. Before we move on, I just want to talk quickly about BetDSI. You can check out BetDSI. It's been around for over 20 years. It's betdsi.com, and it has a great NBA special for you. You can sign up today and get $10 free to try their service. BetDSI is also offering 100% bonus on your first deposit. It's great customer service. It's fast and easy payment of winnings of whatever you bet on. Hundreds of football and basketball wagers to choose from as well. BetDSI even has live in-game wagering on all football, basketball, and other major sporting events. You can play virtually everything at BetDSI. So go to BetDSI.com now. That's BetDSI.com. Go there now and use promo code THUNDER10, THUNDER10, to get your free wager and start winning today.
You are Locked On Thunder, your daily Oklahoma City Thunder podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.
Some Twitter questions from JJ Santos. I told you we'd talk about this. Will Andre Robertson be able to repeat his defensive performance against James Harden? Can I answer yes and no? Because that's what I'll do. But I promise I'll expand. I always do. I do think that Robertson can replicate what he did. Like, he did a great job fighting around screens that last time they played. And he was great. It might have been his best defensive performance of the season. Harden went 4 of 16. He turned the ball over 6 times. But those numbers were not necessarily why Robertson played so well. Robertson played well because he didn't force the Thunder defense. Like, Harden is amazing at bending a defense. He's amazing when he comes around to pick and roll, at keeping his primary defender behind him and forcing someone else to step up, and then forcing another guy to move to help that guy. And you just constantly have guys helping the helper over and over again until somebody messes up and somebody's open and he kicks to a three-point shooter, or he gets fouled, or whatever it is. And that's part of why he's so good at facilitating an offense. He's great at it. What Robertson did really well was he was awesome at going over ball screens against him. He went over ball screens and still managed to stay in front of him. He was really good at recognizing when they were going to slip screens, when they were trying to square him up with their bodies. He was really, really good at that. And that was a big, big help for the Thunder defense, just not losing themselves on potential miscommunications. He limited the amount of decisions that the rest of the defense had to make. And that was really what helped him so much. Now, there were a lot of shots in that game. The first time I went through and watched it, I thought, all right, Robertson played great and Harden missed shots. And I think there were probably 3 or 4 or 5 shots that were really good looks for Harden that he could have made. He missed a few layups, which I think probably could have gone in. Now, they weren't the easiest layups in the history of the world, but we're also talking about James Harden here. We're talking about, you know, maybe the MVP of the league, a guy who's great at finishing around the rim and finishing in those looks and drawing fouls. What Robertson did so well is he didn't commit one shooting foul in that game on Harden, which is amazing. That is a really amazing thing, because Harden is as good at getting to the line as any other perimeter player in the entire league, as any other perimeter player in recent memory. He is absolutely great at it. And Robertson, not one shooting foul on him. He got to the line 7 times in that game. Only 2 of them were while Robertson was on the floor. And that one time he got to the line for 2 attempts, it was a shooting foul off an offensive rebound. Like, the defense was chaotic. He missed the floater, got his own rebound, went back up, and Steven Adams fouled him down low on a putback. So there was never a point in which he was working out of the half-court offense with Andre Robertson on the floor, and he ended up at the line, which is a really, really amazing thing about how the Thunder defense played with Robertson on the floor. They limited his attempts. not that many used possessions, but like the six turnovers, which all came with Robertson on the floor, but the six turnovers, like, they were just sloppy turnovers. Only one of them was really because Robertson did something to force a turnover. The rest, it was sloppy passes, or, you know, Westbrook came from behind him and picked it off once, or should I picked his pocket once. I mean, the turnovers were more on Harden than they were on the Thunder defense. But the way that Robertson was able to not make his defense move that much, the way he was able to make sure that Harden doesn't get to the line, that was really impressive. And I do think to a degree that's replicable. Now, maybe he doesn't go to the line zero times, but I think him going to the line less than he normally does is a replicable performance from Robertson. But some of those shots, like Harden missed a couple of wide open catch and shoot threes. He missed a couple more layups, maybe three layups even. If he makes those shots, all of a sudden he's 9 for 16. And we're talking about a different performance. But it's still an impressive defensive performance from Robertson. So I think when we look at the way Robertson defended, with the way that he limited the number of possessions that Harden was able to use, because he only took those 16 shots, only got to the line once while he was there, and he was 2 for 11 with Robertson on the floor, and Robertson was guarding him the whole time. You know, that's really what I think Robertson can replicate. Denying him the ball when he doesn't have it, being able to fight over those screens really effectively, not having the defense move, not fouling, all that stuff will be great. But I don't think we're going to see Harden go 4 for 16 again, because that kind of stuff isn't just something. It's really not something that James Harden does. Next one from Austin S. Fact or fiction, a current or former Thunder player will win MVP? This is a good question. This is a very, very well-phrased question. So obviously our options are Russell Westbrook, James Harden, and Dion Waiters. No, I'm kidding. Russell Westbrook, James Harden, and Kevin Durant. So those are your options. I am going to say, I mean, look, voting for MVP, a lot of it is narrative, right? It shouldn't be. And I'm not arguing it should be narrative, but that's the way a lot of these votes go. Like LeBron James earned himself MVP votes during the finals last year, because a lot of MVP is just, all right, who's the best player in the league? And last year it was like, all right, who's the best player in the league? It's obviously Stephen Curry. And then the finals, he kind of reminded everybody, wait a second, maybe LeBron is the best player in the league. And then when he won, it was like, oh, well, LeBron is, I guess, still the best player in the league. And I think because of his performance in the finals last year, people are more prone to vote for him for MVP this year. And he's having a great year. He's been awesome. The Cavs are going to have the best record in the Eastern Conference. And he's passing as well as he ever has. He's averaging more assists than he ever has. He's distributing unbelievably well. The Cavs are just a team where he operates in the middle of the floor. Like, he's almost a little Harden-y. Like, the way he operates in the middle of the floor, penetrates, kicks for threes, and the Cavs just bomb threes. They have so many shooters that pick and pop he runs with love. Tons of shooters, and J.R. Smith and Kyrie Irving and all these guys on the outside. They spread the floor well for LeBron, and he operates so well within that system. It could totally be LeBron. But I'm going to say fact. I'm going to say fact, just because you're asking me basically would I take three guys or one. Because I do think it's probably going to be one of those four, is my guess. And I don't necessarily believe in the concept of Durant and Curry cannibalizing votes from each other. Like, Durant won when he was next to Westbrook. That was a thing that happened. And we've seen great players win MVP when they're playing next to other great players. Shaq won one next to Kobe. There have been other instances of it too. This would not be the first time that a great player won MVP playing great next to another great player. And Durant's numbers are crazy. He has a legitimate chance at it. His efficiency is off the charts, and he's scoring just as much without shooting nearly as much as he was in Oklahoma City. So Durant's certainly a candidate. I think Westbrook and Harden are probably the top two guys. I honestly haven't dug into it enough to decide really on which one that I would take right now. It could be Harden. It could be Westbrook. On any given night, any of those three guys can be the best player out of those three. But Harden, the amount that those guys' teams depend on them, the amount the Thunder depend on Westbrook, and the amount that the Rockets depend on Harden to create their offense, to run their offense through, to create basically all their points, like, those two guys aren't just averaging 28 a game. They're also numbers one and two in the league in points generated by assists. So they're not just like getting a lot of assists. Their assists are generating a lot of points. They're generating a lot of threes for their team, not just random dump off assists. These are threes that they're assisting. Harden is generating 28 points per game on assists. Westbrook's around 26. So these guys are generating an amazing amount of offense for their teams. And I think that's what kind of puts them above. And I think it's going to be one of those three, which is, I mean, this must be a sad answer for Thunder fans, I guess. But I do think it's probably going to be one of those three. Although if LeBron wins, like, you know, obviously that's a distinct possibility and something that could always happen. LeBron can always win the MVP. But if you're giving me 3 or 1, I'm taking the 3. Remember, I'm on every weekday, Monday through Friday, and you can head on to iTunes to subscribe to Locked On Thunder. If you have questions or comments, email lockedonthunder@gmail.com, and you can find me on Twitter @FredKatz, FredKatz, and log on to normantranscript.com for all your Thunder needs, and check out Thunder Road to follow team coverage and what's next for the Thunder there. That's going to do it for today. Off for the weekend, back Monday. Rockets on Friday night, Celtics on Sunday. I'm going to be back after the Celtics game on Sunday doing my usual post-game preview. Obviously, no post-game after the Rockets. But all my writing will be up on normantranscript.com, and you can find me on Twitter and whatnot for all of my annoying puns and all of the ridiculous things that I'm going to tweet at Royce during the game, I'm sure. Until Monday, though, Locked On Thunder is locking up.